time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it.
Yo, welcome back, Gem listeners. This is The Hot Seat. I am your host, EJ Russell. Along with me, as always, is Escanaba Excellence, the notorious N-O-R-S-E. With me, as always, is my co-host, co-pilot, and all-around good guy, Tyler Ouellette is here. Tyler, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing good, EJ. Doing good. Good to be back for consecutive weeks. Let's do it. Good show of him.
This is our second consecutive week. We had some technical difficulties, but this week we have been trying to be brought to you live in Moe's Pub. Unfortunately, some technical difficulties there. But as always, this show is sponsored by Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Best place to catch a game in Escanaba. Best pub in Escanaba. Moe's Pub has been a sponsor for a long time. Also sponsoring us tonight is our newest sponsor, SoRite. That's PSO-RITE.com, SoRite.com. Check them out. It's a unique U-shaped fitness product that is designed to help with wellness and recovery. It is a great way to stretch yourself out, recover from tough workouts. I know I use my SoRite every time before I go and play golf. Tyler, I'm holding this thing in my hand. This thing's awesome. I can put it on the back right now and get myself a nice relaxing stretch while doing this show. Check them out. That's PSO-RITE.com. So right, that's PSO-RITE.com. Use code GEM10, GEM10, to get an additional 10% off. Again, thank you to our newest sponsor, So Right. That's PSO-RITE.com. Use code GEM10 to get an additional 10% off. Thank you so much for sponsoring us. But this is The Hot Seat. What's up, guys? How is everyone doing? Hope everyone's having a good week. Tyler, how was your week, buddy?
Good. Yeah, everything's going good. Drifters Family Restaurants. Speaking of Drifters, another sponsor that we're going to add soon.
New sponsor.
Drifters Family Restaurant. Best breakfast in town, Escanaba, Michigan. Just reopening again for our dine-in experience. We're doing takeout still, obviously. But pancakes, hash browns, biscuits and gravy, French toast, eggs. Anything you can ask for breakfast. And we do very good dinners, too. So Drifters Family Restaurant, new sponsor as well. But, yeah, we're back this week. The week's been going good. Just chilling, watching sports. How about you?
Well, and doing what I do for work, I typically order my breakfast from Drifters. Great sausage, gravy, and biscuits.
Steak and eggs.
Drifters Family Restaurant. Check them out at Facebook. Check them out online, driftersfamilyrestaurant.com. They are awesome. They have probably, if not the best breakfast in Escanaba, and that's coming from the source right here. Again, EJ Russell, I'm the guy. I've been here. I'm the one you're listening to. I'm the one you probably know. Tyler's my best co-pilot. But listen, those Gem listeners that have been here for a while, if you come to Escanaba, you got to check out Drifters. So check out Moe's Pub. Check out Drifters. Check out SoRite. That's PSO-RITE.com. Use code GEM10 to get an additional 10% off your order. We have some great sponsors this week looking into the hot seat with myself and Tyler Ouellette. So, Tyler, this is a unique week. We're actually talking a little bit before the show got started, and I don't know that we have any real gripes and groans, but I will give you my gripe and groan for this week, and that's sports gambling. I'm having a rough week, dude. I took $10 in free money, turned it into 28, and then turned that 28 into zero. Then I took five, had a potential to turn it into 62, turned it into zero. Tyler, you've been gambling a little bit longer than I am. Do I just not know what I'm doing? What's the trick here, brother? My gripe and groan for this week, and I think our only gripe and groan this week, is those that have lost money since the Michigan online sports book has opened up. I've been using the Barstool Sports app. I've got some free money through there. You can look at FanDuel. You can look at DraftKings. MGM, I think they got some stuff going. Greektown Casino's got – everybody's got a special going. But, Tyler, dude, I suck, and I know sports. You know I know sports. Am I just dumb, or are you just got me beat here? What's the deal, man? What's up with Michigan sports gambling this week? my gripe and groan is that I'm a loser, but you're smirking ear to ear. I know you're excited for this. Tyler, what's with gambling this week?
Yeah, it was a big week on Friday. Last Friday, they announced it. Well, they opened up online. You could do it on apps.
At noon,
which was just huge.
They opened up at noon this last Friday. We're recording the show on Wednesday, February 3rd. You'll probably hear it on our normal recording day, which is Thursday the 4th, but we're going to do it a day early because the In the Pocket segment is being pushed due to the Super Bowl. We will touch on football, but Tyler, again, go back to gambling.
It's you're not bad. It's really just a lot of luck, EJ. You lose. That's what gambling is, losing money, and then you get hot streaks. And
let's tell my bet Sunday was pretty solid. Okay, and I'm gonna open up my ticket and I'm gonna look at it here. But it was a pretty solid ticket. I went with heavy favorites the whole way. I had Houston over MSU or SMU. I won that on the spread. Okay. Let me open up my bet slip here, my settled tickets. Okay, so I had SMU at Houston. I had Houston minus 10. I won that. Good bet. They were a heavy favorite there. I had Ohio State minus 6.5 against Michigan State. I won that bet. That was a good bet, too.
I was on that.
I bet that solo, but still, that was out of my own pocket. But I had Temple minus 7 over Tulane. They should have won that. I had Delaware over Elon at 6.5. They should have won that. They were all plus 200 money line favorites. I should have turned my 5 into 65. And you know what my gripe and groan is this week? Is that as much as I watch sports, how can I not figure this out? That's my issue. Tyler, you're so good at this. What's the trick to gambling here?
The trick, there's a lot of.
Is there no trick?
There's really is. It's just like that's the thing. Like everyone's into sports that does it, and like still people lose. It's just gambling, man. And like there's always like hot streaks.
Well, let's go into the picks that we made on the In the Pocket segment. Almost everyone took Buffalo. Almost everyone took Kansas City, and yet, almost everyone took Buffalo, and almost everyone took Green Bay, and we all look like dum-dums.
Right.
How does everyone got this figured out but us?
I don't know. I was on Tampa. I won big on Tampa against the Packers. And then I was also on Buffalo, lost on that one. But there's a lot that goes into it. And it's just hard to do. It's a hard thing. And it's fun. And it's fun if you're into sports and you put a little bit on it. You know, it makes it a lot more interesting. Random games, you know, that's kind of the whole thing. Is like this Kentucky-Missouri game we're watching right now. I have money on Kentucky. Like, I would not care about this game as much. I would care, but not as much if I didn't have a little skin in it. So, like, it's just a good
pass. Well, and this game is a fun one to watch because last week we talked about how these Blue Bloods
are being
weren't
bad.
Playing very well.
Yeah, exactly.
So and let's talk about an unranked Kentucky at 5-10 versus an 18th-ranked Missouri 11-3, who's been playing very, very good basketball.
Right.
In what is a difficult SEC this year because Arkansas has a good team. They've got
Auburn,
great guard play.
Tennessee's good.
Auburn's good. Tennessee's good. The SEC's not easy this year.
Right, right.
And this is a conference that Florida dominated in the early 2000s, or excuse me, late 2000s.
Joakim Noah. Yep.
Joakim Noah was really good back then. They had great guards and forwards. Nobody that ended up panning out as a pro, but back then in college, like, you went up against those guards, you were like, I don't know if Aaron Kraft has this. Like, and I'm a Buckeyes guy who lost to Florida two times in the Final Four. Not just Final Four, National Championship. Okay, they beat us a couple times. That was when Greg Oden was the biggest thing in college basketball.
Bust.
But what's great about college basketball is you do have this parity. So, Tyler, let me ask you this. I know you got Missouri, or you have Kentucky as your bet in this game. The spread's 4.5. I think you have Kentucky plus 4.5.
Correct.
Mizzou is playing great, 18th ranked team at 11-3. The Big Ten has been very difficult this year. Okay, this has been an absolute gauntlet of a season for the Big Ten. Which two teams in the Big Ten are most likely to make the Final Four, and who do you have them going against? Who's coming out of the ACC, the Big 12, these other conferences, the Pac-12? who's going to compete? Because I think there is a realistic chance that two Big Ten teams can make the Final Four this year.
Yeah, it's Michigan and Iowa straight up. Illinois is probably the third.
Does Ohio – and I'm being biased here. I just want to ask. Does Ohio State not have a realistic shot to make some noise in this
year's tournament?
Yeah,
they've impressed me a lot.
Because they've been very good against Michigan State. They've been very good against a lot of big, tough Big Ten opponents, including Wisconsin and some of these other schools that have been in the dance this year. Can Ohio State make it? Like you said, what, Iowa and Michigan without hesitation. Ohio State really, like, there should be a little hesitation here, and this is not my own bias here. Ohio State has the potential to be the upsetting player to either Iowa or Michigan, do they not?
Yeah, I agree. I think I just think Michigan and Iowa are in that upper tier. They're the two top 10 teams right now in the Big Ten, like, ranked nationally. Ohio State's top 20. They're definitely Ohio State's impressed me a lot. A lot of road wins that I bet on. And I mean, I bet on. But they just beat Michigan State's been really bad. The Big Ten is just a gauntlet, like you said. Iowa's Garza right there. Luka is just something else. They kind of toyed around with State last night, ended up winning that game. But I think Michigan's been off for 2 weeks because of COVID, which kind of, I hope that doesn't screw their momentum up a little per se. They missed about four games because of this. So hopefully they'll come back swinging like they have been. I would say, like, Illinois is a team. They have a lot of individually really, really good players. So it's just a guy.
Illinois is not going to be the team.
They got two that makes
this season. Thing. I want to go back to Iowa, though. Specifically Garza. Because he's been playing great in the middle all year. He's been pretty quiet these last couple weeks. Is it that he's quiet? Or is it that people just aren't looking at him right now? Is Iowa still the best team in the Big Ten? Because I think Michigan and Juwan Howard are not Juwan Howard's
You're coach. Right, yeah.
Probably the least talented player out of the Fab Five, but Juwan Howard is a great coach. He had
like 15-year NBA career.
I know, but like, out of everyone else he played with on the Fab Five, he was
like during it, maybe. Yeah,
yeah, like back then he wasn't the keynote.
Yeah, Ray Jackson.
But as a coach right now, and as a guy that did get to compete on that team in a minor role, which I think is significant to the point I'm about to make. Is he not the perfect guy to lead Michigan right now? And is he not the perfect guy because he played in that support role as an athlete? Because stars are always going to be stars. But when you get like Pau Gasol with the Lakers, when Kobe Bryant was at his best, we're still wearing number 8. Pau Gasol was a giant reason why Kobe Bryant won championships. He was fantastic in the middle of the court. Do we not have that going on right now in Michigan? Can Juwan Howard, like, Garza should be more Shaq-like, I think, in college right now because he is very physically dominant. But is Michigan getting more? And I want to highlight the German players specifically Wagner. The Wagner family. Because Mo Wagner did this, and now you have Mini Vogs.
Franz.
Are they not getting that similar style of play from like a Pau Gasol, who was a great support player and should be in my opinion, in the NBA Hall of Fame?
He'll be in the basketball.
He's
Hall
like
of Fame,
the greatest six man.
He started, but
that's
I get what
not
you're
a
saying.
Six man.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
like he's a starter, but when you look at a guy like a Pau Gasol, you're like, That's number 6 that I can grab whenever I want, put him in, and he'll get it done. I feel like Juwan Howard's good at coaching that guy, the Wagner guy, the whatever guy.
I know what you're saying. So, yeah, I'll go on. Like, yeah, Michigan is probably one of the most unselfish teams in the country. Through the starting five, then they play about 8 deep, so 3 off the bench. They don't care who scored. They just care about winning, and that's such a big thing.
But And this is the one thing I want to ask you, and I'll let you finish after this, but I do want to ask, who does the ball run through in Michigan? Who's the guy that with 10 seconds left or 15 seconds left on the clock getting ready to run the play, whether he shoots the ball or not, who's the guy for Michigan that's going to have the ball in his hands?
It's definitely Livers. Livers is getting the ball at the end of the game. Wagner, he can make that shot, but Livers is the senior. He's the one that just hits those shots, and he's been playing unreal this year. It's definitely Isaiah Livers. Mike Smith, their point guard, is a grad transfer. He's about his fifth year at the college level. So, like, he's their point guard right there. That's so much experience. He'll facilitate the play, but Livers is going to get that last shot, in my opinion, and he's the one that should. It'd be him or Wagner, but Livers is definitely the most confident with the ball. He's been in those positions. He's been in the Final Four. He's been through it all, so it's definitely Isaiah Livers.
So I think Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin.
They're secretly good.
Are there in the top four on the Big Ten?
Put Illinois with that.
Might be. Too. Illinois is outside of that.
No. They just beat Iowa. Illinois just beat Iowa. They're out there. They're really good.
So Iowa losing right now is similar to some of the best Tom Izzo-led Michigan State teams that I've seen, which is that
they suck early, then they lose a game early, then they
do well, then they lose a game about now, and then they make that run at the tournament. Okay.
Right.
So I don't want to give that away from Iowa right now. But Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, or excuse me, let's put in this order.
Okay.
Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State,
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, Illinois.
They're all up there. But then you got like Purdue and Minnesota who are going to make the tournament. That's like the second tier. The Big Ten is so loaded. It's like
seven. So outside of that, okay, two Big Ten teams really have a good shot at making the Final Four. Who are the two other teams that you think will be there come March?
Nova and Baylor. Gonzaga and Baylor. Baylor, really, like, I was just not buying into them, but I watched them last night against Texas. Texas is another top 10 team.
But that's a tough
– Baylor's
like, when
legit.
I say it's a tough – but when I say it's a tough conference, it's not a difficult playing conference. It's just like – sometimes a Big 12 team will show up like a Texas or a Kansas.
Kansas is always
Kansas bad. More likely.
They're different than yeah.
We got into that blue chip argument last week. The Big 12 outside of Kansas has been really quiet,
other than the occasional
Oklahoma.
Okay? Blake Griffin. But now it's a little different though. Now it's this year's Texas Tech, West Virginia, Texas. Those are all teams that usually aren't in there with Kansas. So that's a huge Big 12 and Big 10 are the best two. Let's just leave it at that. But so that was a good intro right there. Kind of got away from – went to basketball. We started with basketball today. That was a good talk about college basketball. March Madness is coming.
Let's keep rolling with basketball here.
Okay,
so outside of the Big 12, what other conference, the SEC or the ACC, which is very weak this year, which one of them is going to make the cut come Final Four? Do we see three Big Ten teams?
It depends. How Virginia is probably the ACC favorite. They're the only consistently good team this year. I mean, there's a couple other ranked, but Virginia has been playing really well. SEC is Tennessee's their top dog. They just beat each other up a lot, though. Missouri, like we were talking about earlier, they're 18th right now, so they're in the occasion. But I don't think it's going to be a lot of weird teams. Like the Big East is a really good conference this year. They don't get talked about enough. They beat each other up too. But the ACC, like you said, is just very down. Like Duke is not good this year at all. North Carolina is not very good. It's just a weird year. What are you going to say?
Let's pick on a particular team here that I brought up earlier. Texas Tech. Okay. They have a guy that is leading the conference in scoring in Mac McClung. Who 2 years ago was like the white Zion Williamson, and I'm putting air quotes there, because his high school play was very well documented on social media, whether on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, with the source you were looking at. Mac McClung and Zion Williamson were one or two clicks away from each other at any moment. So Mac McClung has moved from Georgetown and playing for Patrick Ewing to Texas Tech, which is a team, what, 2 or 3 years removed from the Final Four? Weren't they in the finals?
They beat State in the Final Four.
Yeah. They're 3-4 years removed from a national championship appearance on a team that has been defensively focused. Mac McClung is scoring better than almost any player in the Big 12 this year. Is he at his height playing the guard position and not being the most physically gifted? Like, he's not LeBron James. LeBron James is a semi-truck rolling down the middle of a grocery store looking for white bread. Like, just get the hell out of his way. Like, he's physically dominant. He's a physical specimen. When that kind of guy walks down the aisle, you move to the right. When Mac McClung walks down the aisle, you're like, hey, bro, can you grab me the milk? Like, is he... Like, I'm not trying to make fun of him, but he is, when you look at him, he's not a physical specimen, but he is an absolutely incredible basketball player. Does he, Tyler, and this is what I want to ask you, does he have the potential to bring Texas Tech into that Final Four question? And can he be the reason that they win a national title this year?
100%. Yeah, he's smaller, but he has bounce. Like you said, the Zion comparison. He can jump out of the building. And he can shoot.
That was the best word choices. He has great bounce.
He does, yeah, and he's the most athletic, one of the more athletic players in the country. And I'm not sure what is his height. He's only 5. He's probably like 6'1", maybe. But like, no, he's something. And their whole
he's not tall.
No, he's not. But
he's a little guy, but incredible bounce. That was a perfect word choice.
Right, and he's been like that since Georgetown. He started there and obviously transferred. He's 6'2", so
do you think he's, and this is, I wholeheartedly have an opinion here, should he have gone to Georgetown and played for Ewing, or is he better off at Texas Tech?
100% better at Texas Tech.
Right.
Oh, 100%.
He wasn't. Patrick Ewing was so physically dominant that I don't know he knows how to coach a Mac McClung. Mac McClung is better on a team that is so defensively focused that when he gets the ball in his hands, that's the team that's like, just go get it, kid. That's what he needs to do.
He was at Georgetown just because he's from Virginia. So that's really the main reason he's
around there. He should have shined. Like, he belonged there.
Yeah, and so... Yeah, and Chris Beard, Texas Tech coach, has been unreal. Yeah, that year they made the championship. They beat Michigan and Michigan State in that tournament. Yeah, Texas Tech's real deal. So the Big 12 and the Big 10 are the best two conferences, so for sure.
I'll finish off on Mac McClung. I thought he was a phony, because anybody can be good at high school and put together a nice highlight reel with a couple of good friends, right? Like, I say this politely, we put together a good podcast. We have no clue what we're doing.
Yeah, right.
I'm joking. I know that we, again, thank you to our sponsors, Moe's Pub in Escanaba, 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap, Moe's Pub in Escanaba. So, right, that's PSO.RTE.com. Use code GEM10 for an additional 10% off. Thanks to our sponsors. But yeah, we don't know, have any idea what we're doing. But all jokes aside, like, Mac McClung is the kind of guy that just looked really good on film that until this year at Texas Tech, his junior year, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Now he's got my attention again, because at Georgetown, he was very quiet and they tried to put him.
They're bad too.
But on ESPN and on TV, they tried to make Mac McClung look like Mac McClung, but Georgetown was not good enough. And Texas Tech, when they play and they do get covered, like, they're not the game you want to watch. But when you see them on TV, you're like, that's a damn good team. And that's why they've been one of the 10 best defensive teams in the last 5-6 years. That's why they've made a run of a national title. That's why they've now got a guy named Mac McClung, a great offensive player, okay, that has the potential to be an Aaron Kraft at Ohio State, or a
I know what you're saying.
Who's the Michigan guy on ESPN guard?
Albert? Spike Albert? He's on ESPN?
Oh, God.
Does he play right now?
No.
Zach Novak, Stu Douglas. Those
no, are... he's one of the Fab Five.
Oh, Jalen Rose.
Yes, Jalen. Yeah. I can see, like, Jalen wasn't the best college basketball player. He was very, very good. I can see Mac McClung being that for Texas Tech and just kind of disappearing. But I think that his ability to impact the game media-wise should not be forgotten. And Mac McClung has been great for high school basketball. Zion Williamson has been great for college and high school basketball, and now he's in his second year as a professional. Mac McClung and Zion Williamson, people need to understand, were right there next to each other on those highlight reels. Look for Texas Tech to make some noise. I don't think that they're good enough to make a run at a title this year because Mac McClung really is the only great offensive piece that they have. Their defense is solid. They've been great the last couple of years. I think come tournament time, I for some reason, I think Duke, if they somehow get in this tournament.
I don't even know if they'll make the tournament.
But if they somehow do.
Yeah, I mean, it's Coach K.
I'm not going to be surprised if Coach K's in the Final Four, so I'll go Duke. I'll go Michigan because I think they're going to put together a nice year. Random Big Ten team. And I'm going to go Florida State. I think they've had a nice year. They're pretty good. They've won some games they're not supposed to. I think that they're just swaggy enough that running into a tournament, if they find a couple wins, they could make a run at the Final Four. So I'll go Florida State as my ACC representative because I think somebody from that conference gets in.
All right. So let's get into football. I have some – we got to talk about Stafford. We got to talk about Matthew Stafford. Big
time. Hold on. Before we go football, do you want to touch anything NBA? I got really nothing NBA.
Not right now. It's middle of the season. Nets are still.
Well, can I just still say Kyrie sucks? Just
sure. Yeah.
He's being a whine ass.
Big three going over there. It's going okay.
Cavs are playing well.
Cavs are not. Yeah, they're playing. Yeah.
Third toughest schedule going into last week. We're sitting at 9-9 at one point.
Not horrible.
I'm proud of where they're doing this.
Very young. Very young. Colin Sexton's good. But
so you want to get into football. I'll let you intro this.
All right. So as you guys know, I'm a Lions fan, big Lions fan. Obviously the big news on Saturday night, Matthew Stafford gets traded to the Los Angeles Rams for Jared Goff, two first round picks, future first round picks, and a third rounder for this year. Wow. When this happened, I couldn't think straight, EJ, for like 30 minutes. Like, I was like so shocked because like the Rams were never on my radar. I thought he was going to Indy or the 49ers. We talked about that last week. Holy, like this was a great move in my opinion. It works out so well for both parties in my opinion. I just have to say this, the trade is not about Jared Goff for the Lions. Like Goff is in there. There's so many options they can move on with Jared Goff. People are like, oh, Goff sucks. Like, yeah, he's been underperforming lately. It's about the first round. They're going to have two first rounders, four first round picks in the next 2 years, plus a number seven pick this year. And they got a third rounder that they didn't have for this year. So it was a huge win. Yes, they took on Jared Goff's contract. It's only a 2 year. They only has 2 years left, and it's not a huge hit. It's a great move. So for Goff, for the Lions, this is how I look at it. They could still draft a quarterback first round this year. And Goff could be the bridge QB for the next 2 years for that rookie. That or Goff overperforms this year, goes crazy. So now you can trade Goff for more picks next year because he only has 1 year on that crazy contract. Do the same thing they did for Stafford. There's so many options the Lions can do here. And EJ, this whole rebuild, they haven't screwed up, in my opinion. They haven't done anything I'm mad about, and that really scares me, that they haven't screwed up. I don't know what's going on, but they're doing it right, in my opinion. From the coaching staff to the players, it's just looking good. I don't know. So I don't know. What do you have to think? What do you think about this trade?
Right now, I'm liking what your coach is doing. It's hard for diehard Lions fans to want to be beyond Matt Stafford because he is a top 10 quarterback. But he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. And this is the thing that I've always said with the Lions is that it's been very difficult to want to move on beyond move beyond Matt Stafford because it's so hard to get a guy. And this is why Marv Lewis and Andy Dalton made it as long as they did in Cincinnati, is that it's so hard to find a guy that just consistently wins in the regular season and consistently plays well. Matt Stafford statistically is just about a top 10 quarterback every year in his career. Like if you want to put all the numbers together and put an A, B, C, D on it, 0 to 100, I'd probably bet you that Matt Stafford is between numbers 7 and 13 every year of his career. Like he's right there. Yeah. He's a good quarterback. And the problem with that is that when you have – and the number one thing in this league is find a quarterback that works. And when you have a guy that produces that way, it's really hard to move beyond it, okay? And I'll say this about my Cleveland Browns. I could see Baker being that kind of a thing. I don't think that he will be because I think that he is – just ballsy enough that he won't allow that to happen to himself. Like, he'll Johnny Manziel fire himself out before he just is bad for 4 years. Like, Baker would rather implode than suck.
Be mediocre.
And I believe that about his intensity. So, I'm just saying that if you're going to move beyond that guy that can win football games from the quarterback position, boy, howdy to find out that you get Jared Goff and a couple of first round picks for this. Detroit, this is an absolutely fantastic move for you. You have a guy that if you have a halfway decent team next year, he could still win 8 to 10 games. Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl.
He's made the playoffs like 4 out of his 5 years or 3.
Well, he's also the quarterback of the most boring Super Bowl ever.
I don't care. He made the Super Bowl.
He won a playoff game. Pretty boring.
He beat the Seahawks.
He did. Jared Goff's that's what I'm like. You're advancing my point here. Like, I don't think Jared Goff's the guy that's going to take you to title town year after year after year. But to move beyond Matt Stafford and get Goff and still 2 first-round picks, like if you do believe that Goff is your guy, take those next 2 first-round picks, put them on your offensive line, and bet on the quarterback because you've done a decent job of finding okay wide receivers to figure it out. You know, Marvin Jones Jr. not bad. Kenny Galladay wasn't bad. Golden Tate wasn't bad when you had him. Like, who's the good-looking kid on CBS now? Oh, Amendola wasn't bad. Nate Burleson wasn't bad. They get Adam.
Well, Calvin.
Calvin's arguably the best receiver you ever seen. Like, you do an okay job of finding wideouts. If you think you can gamble on Jared Goff, double down, eat the contract, go on the offensive line, get young talent now. Well, you can get him for the next 3 to 4 years while they're cheap. Buy a running back and figure it out. Detroit, if you get Jared Goff and 2 first-round picks, you're not in that bad a shape with your new coach. I don't know what he's going to do offensively.
He's nuts. We got Lynn.
I love his energy.
Yeah, he's a football guy.
Just nuts.
He's nuts. He's a leader. That's what I want. Like, I want an outspoken dude who's just like, hell yeah, football. And then the coordinators can do their job.
You should have never moved on from Jim Caldwell.
I will always go back to that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But for what you have going on right now, if ownership, and this is, I'm going to say politely, if ownership can keep their hands off of this right now,
right,
and let
right.
the GM and the head coach figure this out, right now, you're not in a bad spot. You got Goff, who's still young and has a lot to prove. You have a young team, a lot of first round draft picks.
That's so
and a team that's trades. Probably still not going to be that good next year either. So you're going to get better draft picks next year. You are in a good position to do what maybe my Cleveland Browns are doing right now. right? Like, we had the majority of this team with Hugh Jackson when we didn't win a game. Right. We had a good chunk of this back then, okay? A lot of those guys are still on the team, and thank you to the pieces that we brought in are good. I don't think Detroit has bad bones. I think they have a bad office. And I think that if they can trust this head coach, Jared Goff, and these first-round picks to figure this out, Detroit might have an opportunity to steal this trade.
And let me just say this. This is the first time in a while I'm like looking forward to Detroit Lion football so much right now. Like, it's going to be even if, like, if they go like 7-9, that's going to be the most exciting 7-9 year they have ever watched with this coaching staff and like all these players that like, and God,
if
like Jared
anyone
Goff,
listening to the show gets it, it's me.
Yeah. It's like we like a 7-9 year. It's like after the last couple of years, I'm like, you know, if we can get that in like some exciting games and just like good play, and like, I'm just looking forward to it a lot. So everything they've been doing, like I said, it's been nice to see. It's like refreshing for Detroit, and they definitely took the best offer by far. Because I'm looking at their other offers, no one offered anything really. Like Washington offered their first.
There's absolutely no way you can convince me that there was a better offer.
There wasn't at
all. Goff, like, and two first rounders for Stafford.
Exactly.
No way.
And a third rounder. That's such a haul.
Detroit. Great trade. If you're going to move on from Stafford,
this is it.
This is a great way to do it. If you're a Lions fan that's mad, like, I'm sorry. This is really a great trade for the organization. Stafford was great. When the Rams and the Lions do get an opportunity to play next year, I fully expect every Lions fan and every Rams fan to tip their caps to both quarterbacks because they've done a lot of great things for each organization. Jared Goff, bringing the Rams back to the Super Bowl. Matt Stafford, probably one of the 40 best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, I put him top 30, maybe.
He's
up there.
And in my opinion, top 10 toughest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Top five.
Yeah.
Brett Favre's number one. Matt Stafford, and even that game that they had that shootout against my Browns, when Brady Quinn was the quarterback, and he busted his his shoulder.
That was the first game,
and they won.
Yeah,
and they won that game, and he busted his shoulder, and Matthew Stafford went out and quarterback to win.
There's a great video about that. You've seen that video where like the in NFL video.
Look
where,
at like, the NFL did top 10 greatest quarterback duels of all time. I think they have that one number 8.
Right,
and it was a nothing regular season game between, at the time, two quarterbacks who didn't matter, Brady Quinn and Matt Stafford, but it was just Matt Stafford showed everyone on that day who he was going to be for the rest of his career, and Lions fans will forever be grateful to him. So,
yes,
we'll move on from Stafford, Super Bowl, Tampa Bay, Kansas City. Who's your pick? This will be our bet of the week. Super Bowl. Do you have the money line? Do you have the spread? Do you have the over? Do you have the under? And give me your favorite prop bet.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going Tampa. I think I'm going to take Tampa. They're like +3 right now, +3.5. So I'm going to go with Tampa, whatever the spread is. Not money line. It's going to be like a field goal game. The thing for me is I think the huge thing is Tampa's defense. We were talking about this before the show. It's insane. And the thing is, so the Chiefs are without Eric Fisher, starting guard, or guard or tackle, I think, from CMU, Fire Up Chips. Speaking of which, Central Michigan has four players in the Super Bowl. That is
insane. Well, you have Mitchell Schwartz, who also is a former Cleveland Brown on that offensive line, just on that.
Yeah. Oh, thank God Missouri won by 5, and I lost my bet by a half point right there. Sorry for watching this live. That's horrible. Anyway, so yeah, I do have Tampa +3.5. I think their defensive line is so – Vita Vea, JPP, Sue, like, they're so – and then their line – like, their whole defense is so good, and the Chiefs are out Fisher and another lineman, starting lineman, that's two out. So I think they'll be able to pressure Mahomes. The one problem is Mahomes is good out of the pocket. He's good anywhere. So, like, you scramble, you got to have a spy on him. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I love – and it's Tom Brady at – they're playing in Tampa. That's the first time it's ever happened. Team gets their, you know what I mean? Team in the Super Bowl playing at home. First time it's ever happened. So it's Tom Brady, man, in the Super Bowl. Come on.
I have a couple bets I like here. So I'm gonna say straight up, I'm taking Tampa Bay money line.
Okay.
Only because I think Kansas City will win, and whenever I bet against Tom Brady, I lose. So I'm gonna go with Brady money line here.
Yep.
Because I like Kansas City. My two other bets, and I want you to pull this number up for me while I go into my next one. Okay. Scotty Miller, what's the over under on the catches? Okay. That's a statistic I think makes a great prop bet this year. I always like betting the over under on the national anthem. I'm one to tell you that whatever you think's going to happen, I'm going to always take the under on the national anthem. So take the under this year. I think the performer gets into it, get a little agitated. They're excited to be at the Super Bowl. So always take the under on.
What about the Gatorade anthem. Color?
Gatorade the Gatorade color. Color?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Dude, I feel
if
like
if it's Tampa wins, it's going to be red. If it's Kansas City, I think it's going to be orange.
I think orange is favored. I think I saw the odds. Do you know what I always thought? Like, you could have someone on the sideline tell you what it is. Am I wrong?
Oh, sure. You can text someone if you have a good enough friend.
Exactly.
What's the Scotty Miller catches over under?
Though? I'm going. I don't know if it's up right now. I can't. Player props. Yeah.
Say this. It's not. Is it three? Up. Okay.
It's probably
Scotty Miller.
Are you talking about yards?
Catches.
Catches probably.
Okay. He was at 1.5 in last week.
I put like
over
two
under
and a half.
Is 1.5. I'm going to say Scotty Miller, 3.5. Take the over.
Depends
I think
on
Scotty
AB,
Miller.
Though.
I think Scotty Miller. Brady loves himself these short little white receivers. I think Scotty Miller is going to make a difference in the Super Bowl. I think you might see Rob Gronkowski catch a touchdown pass for his only catch of the game. Evans is going to make some noise.
Their offense is so good. So is their defense.
I think the piece that I'm going to see not succeed in this game that I really want to see do well, though, is Chris Godwin. I love the way he's been playing football. Mike Evans is a very good possession receiver. I think Gronk scores a touchdown. I think Scotty Miller makes some noise. Mike Evans, again, has that touchdown. I think we'll see a small game from Chris Godwin. Leonard Fournette, quiet. I think you'll see Ronald Jones Jr. with a decent running game. Tampa Bay defense stepping up. JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, with his four fingers. I think he has 1.5 sacks in this game. If he gets a sack and a half, they win.
Yeah, I think we're both on Tampa. It's going to be a good game. I think it's like poetic. It's Tom Brady. If he wins, I think he's done. I think he's done if he wins this.
No, he's not. Bet you he comes back. Because he's just such a thorn in my side that I think he should retire, and he will come back. And I don't want him to win again. I am not a Brady guy. The only reason I'm going to put my money on him here is because every time I bet against him, I lose.
Yeah.
And this is – I'm not doing it because I like it.
Maybe you should bet against him so I'll win. Because if I'm on him, then
– I don't want you to.
You know what I'm saying? That would be a good – that would be a good teamwork right there.
So that's going to wrap up this week's edition of The Hot Seat. This week's edition of The Hot Seat, as always, is powered by The Game Entertainment Media. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.com, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. We're on Spotify, Apple, Podbean, Podtail. Still doesn't exist, but I always say Podworld. With me, as always, with our new sponsor, Drifters.
Drifters Chalet Restaurant. Best breakfast in town. Pancakes, eggs Benedict. Biscuits and gravy, I know you like that. Steak and eggs, all the good stuff. So, Drifter's Family Restaurant, open
you
for
dine-in. Pancake-making son of a gun.
Yes,
Escanaba Excellence, he is notorious. NORSE, co-host, contributor, all-around good guy. Tyler, thanks for being with us this week.
Thank you for having me. Yes, sir.
Again, thank you, Moe's Pub, 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Open for 25% capacity, dine-in. Moe's Pub in Escanaba. Also, thank you to our new sponsor, SoRite. That's PSO-RITE.com, SoRite.com. It is a unique U-shaped fitness and recovery product designed to stretch your muscles, help in recovery, stretching, relaxation. It's just a great tool. I use it every time before and after I go golfing. And I use it occasionally before the show just to make sure that my back feels good.
Mm-hmm.
PSO-RITE.com. That's so-right.com. Use code GEM10, G-E-M-1-0, to get an additional 10% off whatever other bonuses they got going on. GEM10. Use code GEM10 for an additional 10% off at PSO-RITE.com. That's so-right.com. Check it out, so-right.com. Thank you so much for sponsoring again. Escanaba Excellence, Notorious N-R-R-S-E, N-O-R-S-E, Tyler Ouellette.
Yes, sir.
I am your host, EJ Russell, and this has been this week's edition of The Hot Seat. We will catch you all next week. See ya.